prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is Monday, the 20th day of March, 2023. You're listening to Financial Survival. As I said last week, Melody's taking some days off this week. She'll be back with us next Monday. She's enjoying herself, I hope, with a few days off and a change of pace and change of scenery. You know, we all need it once in a while. We do. Next month, Lord willing, on the 5th, my wife and I, Marcia Jean and I, and our oldest son, Patrick, are going down to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, to relax a little bit and maybe take in a good family show a couple nights. We all need to do that once in a while, folks. If we don't, we become stale. So, and not because we don't like what we're doing, but a break is a break, and Melody deserves one. So I hope she's having a good time. But anyway, like I said, listen, Financial Survival, I'm filling in for Melody for the day, and Dave back tomorrow. All back on Wednesday, Dave back on Thursday, I'll back on Friday, Lord willing. And welcome to the broadcast. We've got a lot to talk about today, folks, a lot to talk about today. But we'll start, as always, with metals. And I guess you know that gold was up over $2,000 an ounce. It's back down now a little bit. It's still up today, 663 to 1983.18. Less than about 90 bucks away from a new record. Yeah, not bad. Silver's up 19 cents to 2260. Platinum was up 1316 to 99002. Palladium was up 0.59% to 14.1948. All the metals were up today. And so were all the U.S. markets. The Dow was up 348 points to 32.210. S&P was up 31 points to 39.47. NASDAQ was up 31.9 to 11.661. FTSE was up 0.93% to 73.99. The DAX was up 1.03%, 14,919. Hang Seng was down 2.65% to 19,000. Nikkei was down 1.42% to 26,945. Oil was down again, 73 cents to 67.47. USDX was also down 0.42 to 103.29. You remember that was 114 a couple months ago? That's quite a change. 10-year yield was up 0.84 to 3.481%. So, mixed bag there, but the metals did very well again. And I want to start off today's program reading a short few paragraphs entitled Gold Flirts with Record Highs After Topping $2,000 an Ounce. Now, I hope you're paying attention. I truly do. And don't put off buying precious metals. Yeah, the price is up now. It really is. And it may drop back down a little bit. But folks, it's going to go to a record high again. Buy when you can. I know it's tempting to wait to drops and hope it goes way back down, but it's never going to go back to way back down again. Not ever, unless everything in the world collapses to nothing, and then gold and silver would be worth everything in the world because nothing else is going to be any good for anything, unless you want to take digital currencies. But anyway, gold flirts with record highs after topping $2,000 an ounce. This out of Reuters. Gold traded at record highs in some currencies on Monday and neared all-time peaks in U.S. dollar terms after banking sector turmoil sent prices of the safe haven asset rocking 10% in a matter of days. Let me repeat part of the last sentence. After banking sector turmoil sent prices of the safe haven asset. Let that sink in. Safe haven accent. Asset went up 10% in the last matter of a couple of days. Banking stocks and bonds continued to plummet on worries that more problems may emerge after several U.S. banks and Switzerland's Credit Suisse collapsed or required rescue. In U.S. dollars, gold shot as high as $2,009.59, up from $1,815 on March 9th. Now, folks, that's been 2 weeks. Not quite 2 weeks, but right at 2 weeks. It's up almost $200 and was within sight of its 2020 peak of $2,072.50. In other currencies, records highs had already fallen. Gold rose above 3,000 Australian dollars and 165,000 Indian rubies, and for the first time traded around 1,880 euros, just 20 euros shy of its euro record. It's all about risk hedging, says StoneX analyst Rhonda O'Connell. A Swiss bank is supposed to be the be-all and end-all of safe havens, she said. If something happens, something else happens in the banking sector, you can expect gold to go higher. Now, folks, think about that just for a second. Where do you feel safer with your money? In paper in the bank? Well, I don't care whether it's currency or bonds or whatever. But you feel better to have it in your possession, in something tangible and always valuable, no matter what happens. Where do you feel safer? I think anyone with any financial common sense will understand where the safe place to be is. And it's certainly not the bank in paper of any kind. The same thing with if it's in the markets. Markets went up a little bit. They have to keep them up, obviously, to keep everybody involved in the markets. But I don't think it will be there too much longer. Not nothing. This will not be covering the news, I don't guess, if I didn't cover this one issue. Ex-President Trump told everybody he's going to be arrested tomorrow. Whether that's going to happen or not, I don't know. I don't know. But I do know that some people think that if he is arrested, it's going to catapult him right back into the White House in 2024. He's called for peaceful protest already if he does get arrested. Emphasis on peaceful. And even ex-Vice President Pence, who had kind of turned on Trump the last few months, said that he expected to be protesting, and this was a political witch hunt, more or less what he said. It could get very nasty. Fears of violent clashes in New York after the former president put out rallying cry for people to protest his rumored arrest on Tuesday. A Fox News host has speculated that the potential arrest of Donald Trump on Tuesday could trigger a civil unrest and turn New York into a zoo. The comments came during a host Neil Cavado's Saturday show, in which UC Berkeley law professor John Yoo appeared as a guest. I'm just wondering where this goes and what Tuesday looks like, Cavuto told you. I can't imagine it's going to be like a zoo out there. You're going to have a lot of people who are both supporters of his and those who are hoping he does go to the clink. It could get very messy, he said. The fear of violence and confrontation in the city comes after Trump encouraged people to protest in response to his rumored arrest in Manhattan on Tuesday. Now, it's like he said in D.C. on January 6th, he said, protest peacefully. And the protesters were. until about 6 or 8 white buses appear with BLM and others, Antifa, coming on to make the protest turn violent. That's what happened, folks. I have eyewitnesses that were there. Anyway, on Saturday, Trump said on the social media platform Truth Social that the Manhattan DA was arranging to arrest him over payments he allegedly made to Stormy Daniels, with whom he has been accused of having an affair. Trump denies the affair and knowledge of the payments. I'll make a comment there. I wasn't too keen on Trump. Trump was an immoral womanizer. There's no doubt about that. That's just a fact. He confessed to himself. Whether he slept with Stormy Daniels or not, I don't know. Stormy Daniels is a prostitute.
Oh, no, she's not. She's a dark porn star.
She's a prostitute. The difference between her and a regular prostitute is she gets it on video and makes money from the video, too. She's a prostitute. Why would anyone want to take a word of an from a prostitute? Even if the president is a womanizer, who would you want to believe? The womanizer or the prostitute? What difference does it make? They're both liars. They're both immoral. So who do you want to believe? It's up to you. Did he pay her? Well, she's a prostitute. Isn't that what you generally do with prostitutes? Don't you pay them? It's wrong. It's morally wrong. But since when is prostitutes' word as good as anybody or better than anybody else's? Think about that. Let that sink in a little bit. Stormy Daniels is a prostitute. There's other words you could use for that also, but we won't on the air. But it just is what it is. You take her or leave it or what you want to do with it. It doesn't change the fact that she is what she is. Bank shares slide as Credit Suisse rescue fails to quell contagion fears. Folks, this is only the beginning. I'm telling you the truth, only beginning. Banking stocks and bonds fell sharply on Monday as the hit to investors from UBS Group's state-backed takeover of Credit Suisse fan worries about the health of the global banking sector. UBS Group AG shares rate sank 7% among concerns among investors about the long-term benefits of the deal and the outlook for banks in Switzerland, a country once seen as a paragon of sound banking. You remember, maybe you can remember that it used to be that everybody put the money in Swiss banks. They were considered, I guess, impregnable. They were a place to put money. They were a safe haven. Not so safe, folks. Not like real money in your hand. But anyway, in a package engineered by Swiss regulators on Sunday, UBS will pay 3 billion Swiss francs, or 3.23 billion, for 167-year-old Credit Suisse Group AG, and assume up to 5.4 billion in losses. Investor focus has now shifted to the massive blow some Credit Suisse bondholders will take, adding to anxiety about other banking sector risk, including contagion and the fragile state of U.S. regional lenders. Folks, it's just getting started. I promise it's getting started. I'm not doing this to scare people. I'm just doing this to warn people. We mustn't take anyone's word for anything good to happen to the banks. Biden got up and lied flat to the people. The banks are fine. Keep on doing it. The banks are fine. Then why did Swiss Bank and First Republic fail? If they're such a good shape, why did those two banks fail? The second largest bank in history failed. Why would that happen? What happened to the Switzerland Bank, Swiss Bank? What happened there? If they couldn't fail, if they're in such good shape, they failed anyway. 186 more banks at risk. This crisis is far from over. This comes from Michael Snyder, Economic Collapse Blog. Now, folks, this is today's article, partial article. They're desperately trying to plug one leak in the system after another. But what happens if the entire system suddenly comes crashing down all around them? Back on January 4th, I specifically warned that our problems would greatly accelerate over the next 12 months, and that is precisely what has happened. We are now in the midst of the most severe banking crisis since 2008, and it could soon get a whole lot worse. We've already witnessed the second and third largest bank failures in the entire history of our nation, and now is being reported 186 more banks are at risk of failure. On the heels of Silicon Bank Valley's collapse earlier this month, 186 more banks are at risk of failure, even if only half of their depositors decide to withdraw their funds, a new study has found. This is because the Federal Reserve aggressive interest rate hikes to tamp down inflation have eroded the value of bank assets such as government bonds and mortgage-backed securities. The recent declines in bank asset values very significantly increased the fragility of the U.S. banking system to uninsured depositor runs, economists wrote in a recent paper published on the Social Science Research Network. Needless to say, these banks realize that they are in jeopardy. And a coalition of mid-sized banks is literally begging federal regulators to cover all uninsured depositors for at least the next 2 years. A coalition of mid-sized U.S. banks asked federal regulators to extend FDIC insurance to all deposits for the next 2 years, arguing the guarantee is needed to avoid a wider run on the banks. Doing so will immediately halt the exodus of deposits from smaller banks, stabilize the banking sector, and greatly reduce chance of more bank failures, the Mid-Sized Bank Coalition of America said in a letter to regulators seen by Bloomberg News. If federal regulators don't do this, vast amounts of money will continue to be transferred from small and mid-sized banks to the big, too-big-to-fail banks. But I'll tell you why such a move is not likely to happen right now. We're going there, folks. We're not going to do that right now. It takes too much time than I got. But this is something you need to be concerned about. 186 more banks, mid-sized banks, which I do believe that they want to take out anyway. Why do you say that, Pastor Butch? Because they want control in fewer hands. It's hard to regulate and control and make independent entities do what you want them to do in lockstep. But if you can narrow down a couple hundred banks down to two or three, four banks, it's easier to work together to bring in the digital currencies. Yes, it'd make it easier. You can control the assets more. You can see who gets what and how much you should get. And if they don't do things just right and social credit score is too low, they don't get anything. This is actually being talked about right now as you listen to this program today. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is being discussed as we said here talking about this. They want the mid-sized banks to fail. I bank with a smaller banking company called First Community Bank. And it's not one of the bigger ones. As far as I know, they're doing very well. But if the bigger ones want them out, they will starve them out. It's exactly what the world powers want, folks. Less independence in the banking companies and the banking projects so we can be more easily controlled by central bankers. What a coincidence. Wow. And Peter Schiff writes a pretty good article, I think. I'm going to read a couple paragraphs from what he wrote entitled Peter Schiff on the Fed's Endgame. What happens next? The Fed's difficult choice. Peter Schiff was asked how he thought the next crisis would play out. Interestingly, many of these of the things discussed are ticked boxes right now. The part in question is cued to start. What is interesting in his take on the difficult choice the Fed will have to eventually make between rescuing the dollar and causing depression, or rescuing the banks and spurring higher inflation? The only choice they have, folks, rescue the dollar and cause a depression, or rescue the banks and spur inflation. He throws out another one in which the country is put on an involuntary austerity program. Now listen, austerity program in what, preacher? In Social Security, Medicare, and more are cut to the bone. Seems more possible every day right now. So this is what Peter Schiff says could happen. The government is right between the rock and hard place. Do we cause a recession or hyperinflation? Or do we start cutting back on austerity programs? Now, that's what I said. These are not money that you put in the bank that's been there since 1930s. This Social Security broke for many years. Social Security broke for many years. So it's an austerity program. It's now a gift. It's not something that you should have because, after all, it's not your money. If the money is not in your possession, my friends, it's not your money. Period. To cut Social Security and Medicare, that's being discussed as we speak right now also. Will it happen? I don't know if it does. It's going to affect me. I'm 74 years old. It would bother me quite a bit. But if they decide to do it, what you going to do about it? The cop between a rock and a hard place. Do we cut the pay of the old elderly or cause depression? Back at the break.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home. And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie.
All righty, folks, we are back, and I'll just share this with you because y'all families, I don't mind sharing with you. They're just talking to their producer, Todd. Probably one of the best producers ever lived in the country, by the way, named Todd. not just called named Todd, but he's a good producer. But anyway, my oldest granddaughter, just brought our great-grandson up a couple hours ago to see great Mamaw and Papaw. He's just turned a year in October. And just as cue the button, I was just telling Todd, it's hard for me to imagine that my middle son has a daughter who has a baby. Well, wow. The years go by like months used to, and months go by like weeks used to. Is that not true for y'all, too? Got an article here that I want to share part of with from Jacob Hornberger. Separate money and the state. The United States once had the finest monetary system in history. It was a system that the U.S. Constitution established. It was a system in which the official money of the United States consisted of gold coins and silver coins. We often hear that the gold standard was a system in which paper money was backed by gold. Nothing could be further from the truth. There was no paper money in the United States. There was no paper money in the United States. That's because the Constitution did not empower the federal government to issue paper money. It also expressly prohibited the states from issuing paper money. The Constitution used the term bill of credit. That was a term people at that time used for paper money. The Constitution expressly forbade the states from issuing bills of credit or paper money. It also did not delegate the power to issue bills of credit or paper money to the federal government. Instead, The Constitution empowered the federal government to coin money. At the risk of belaboring the obvious, one does not coin money out of paper. One coins money out of such metallic commodities as gold and silver. The Constitution also expressly forbade the states from making anything but gold and silver coins legal tender or official money, which further established the intent of the framers. The Constitution also empowered the federal government to borrow money. That's what the U.S. debt instruments, bills, notes, and bonds are all about. But even though these debt instruments oftentimes circulated semi-money in the economic transactions, everyone understood that they were not money itself. Instead, they were promises to pay money, which meant promises to pay gold coins and silver coins. Soon after the enactment of the Constitution, the U.S. government began minting gold coins and silver coins. Gold coins and silver coins remained the official money of the American people for more than a century. Those coins ranked among the most honest coins in history. The gold coin, silver coin standard, the monetary stability that it came with it, was a major contributing factor to the enormous rise in the standard of living of American people in the 19th century and early 20th centuries, especially in the period from around 1880 to 1915. Of particular importance was the American people did not have to worry about inflation reducing the value of their assets, investments, and income. That's because the federal government lacked the means to inflate the quantity of gold, coins, and silver coins in the economy. Let me repeat that. That's because the federal government lacked the means to inflate the quantity of gold coins and silver coins in the economy. They couldn't just go out and mint new coins because they had to have extra gold and silver to do that with. So they couldn't mint coins and lower the value of money. Besides, that wouldn't work anyway because gold and silver are not devalued as the dollars are. They just couldn't print out paper by the trillion and say, oh, this is money, which it isn't. All that changed in the 1930s. Using the Great Depression excuse, President Roosevelt and his Congress abandoned the monetary system established by the Constitution and that had been in place for more than a century. In its place, they installed a paper money standard. Possession of gold coins was deemed to be a felony. Anyone who was caught possessing what had been the official money of the nation for more than a century faced criminal prosecution, a 10-year jail sentence, and a $10,000 fine, and forfeiture of his gold to the government. Let me just make this point here. For 100 years, Americans have been used to dealing with real money. Roosevelt came in under an emergency act, of course. Well, my goodness, he had to do something because people were in a great depression. People were out of work and they were hungry, so they had to do something. So under the guise, the deception, the fraud of a depression, which was man-made depression, as they always are, he was able to take away people's real money and issue paper instead. When the people said, yes, sir, master, because they were afraid. Tyrants always use fear, folks. Fear of them or fear of consequences if you don't listen to them. That's how tyranny works. In other words, Roosevelt and the Congress changed the Constitution without ever getting the Constitution amended. What they did was classic dictatorial conduct, the type of conduct one finds in totalitarian regimes. Ever since, the result has been decade after decade of monetary debauchery and monetary crisis at the hands of the Federal Reserve, which was called into existence in 1913. Ironically, it was the Fed's Monetary Act annex in the 1920s that led to the 1929 stock market crash, which led to the Great Depression, which led to the Bank of America's founding monetary system. In the wake of the latest banking crisis, we can continue following the road of monetary debauchery, crisis, and chaos. We can build on what our ancestors did by getting government totally out of the monetary business. Wow. Very good article. Right to the point. And something that all of us had forgotten. I guess you could say that this come September, I'll be 75 years old. I've lived three quarters of a century. My generation does not remember gold coins. They didn't exist when I was a little fella. Well, they may have been there, but I don't remember being there. Born in 1948, long after gold was confiscated by Roosevelt. So I don't remember them at all. I do remember silver, though. I was just a teenager when I was 64 when they took the gold out of silver out of coins. But I remember silver dollars, silver 50-cent pieces and dimes. I remember those, quarters. Remember back then, a silver dollar was a pretty good pay, worth about 30 of today's paper dollars. So I worked in the hayfield for 50 cents an hour. Think about this, folks. 50 cents an hour was in real silver. I was making 12, 14 bucks an hour, monetary value, in today's wages. So you say, well, I'm making 15 bucks an hour. Good for you making 50 cents an hour of real money. Let that sink in. That's not complicated. It's not hard to understand. If a dollar, let's just say it's worth 30 paper dollars today, it's probably more than that, but let's say it 30. You make 50 cents, you made 15 bucks. Now, you get a job working at Wendy's for 15 bucks an hour making decent money. The same was paid to me working in hayfield for 50 cents an hour back in the 1960s. The only difference is, on paper, it looks like more money. When it comes to paying taxes, you pay higher taxes, don't you? You're paying on bigger money. Government always benefits from higher inflation. They can say what they want to, but I want to slow it down, and they probably do to keep the economy afloat. But they benefit from inflation. When your wages go up, so do your taxes. Folks, we got to quit thinking like sheeple. Start thinking like people to understand the truth behind the scenes that we're not being told. I don't know if this is, I don't think this is really rocket science by any means. But not if I can figure it out, it's not. So I would think that we might want to pay attention to how we've been duped gradually but continually into this idea of prosperity, meaning more or bigger numbers on paper, but not in actuality. You follow what I'm saying? Someone in 1960 who made, let's say, a dollar an hour was equal to somebody making 30 bucks an hour today. The purchasing power of silver, the real money, was still good enough to survive on. When I first got married forever ago, 1971, we could still buy 12 loaves of bread for $1. 12 lunch cakes for $1. A gallon of gas was 20 cents, 22 cents, somewhere in that area. And my biggest paying job I had when I first got married was 450 bucks a month. And we lived on that quite well. No, we weren't wealthy, but we weren't lacking anything. Now, let that sink in today's economy. How many loaves of bread do you get for a dollar a day? How many lunch cakes do you get for a dollar? How many candy bars do you get for a dollar? Something happened, folks. It's not because gold and silver went away that they're not still here. They are. But they took it out of the money system and put paper in place of it, or fake coins, if you will. So that's how we got where we are, and that's why our grandchildren are condemned to follow the same pattern unless somebody wakes up real soon that I don't see it happening. Here's some good news for the Dutch. New anti-globalist farmers wins even more Dutch senators than expected. They're the largest party. The anti-Great Reset pro-farmer Burl Berger Benneging, BBB is what they call it, movement, appears to have won even more seats in the Dutch Senate than expected, with the globalist coalition government losing heavily. The Burl Berger Benneging farm citizen movement was founded to represent the interests of Dutch farmers facing severe difficulties as being closed down altogether. As a result of Prime Minister Mark Rutte's effort to implement European Union mandated curbs on the use of nitrogen fertilizers in order to serve the bloc's climate change green agenda. Initially a protest movement, the BBB had been involved in many major demonstrations, often involving tractors in the Netherlands, but it arrived as a political force in the country's recent regional governor election for the first time, which also determined the makeup of the first chamber of the States General, the upper house of Senate or Senate of the Dutch legislature. As a result, the election became clear, and now appears to scale of the farmer citizen movement's success was greater than polls initially suggested, with it being due to claim 17 seats in the Senate and become by far the largest party there, according to pro-farmer campaigner Eva Van Dingerbach. So there you go. They did, and I would believe these results, that they have honest elections over in the Netherlands, not like here in the U.S., but it is what it is. They had an honest election, and the good guys won. I have no doubt that Trump beat Biden 10 ways to 1 in the last election. But that's in the past. We're never going to get proved any differently. I mean, there's no way. It's not going to come out in our lifetime anything different. But nonetheless, in the Netherlands, the pro-family group won. Now they're in control of the Senate in the Netherlands, which, by the way, is the second largest producer of food in the world next to the United States. So let that sink in. A little bit of a win for the regular people for a change. China's Yi in Russia to meet Putin over Ukraine war. Now, it's supposed to happen today. They're supposed to meet tomorrow. Some more detail that it's supposed to be there today. Chinese President Xi Jinping flew into Moscow on Monday, who is expected to press Beijing's role as potential peacemaker in the Ukraine war, while Russian Vladimir Putin hoped to support against Western pressure. Yi will be the first national leader to shake Putin's hand since the International Criminal Court issued an arrest warrant for him on Friday over the deportation of Ukrainian children to Russia since its all-out invasion. I don't know whether he did that or not. I have no idea. You remember back, we went into the Middle East and we were looking for weapons of mass destruction. Remember that? Remember George Bush Jr. talking about that and laughing about it and saying, look on the table, look on whatever. There's weapons here somewhere. He never found them. It was a lie to get us involved in that war so the U.S. could take over the assets, the oil fields of those countries. They lied to us. I don't trust him for this either. I don't know if Putin took those children or not. But the ICC court put an arrest warrant for Putin, which he's laughing at, and he should. It means nothing. It's like putting a sanction against a senator or the president. It means nothing. It's just a piece of paper. But anyway, Moscow said this charge was one of several clearly hostile displays, while Beijing said it reflected double standards. Boy, he got that right. Russia is presenting Yi's trip, his first trip since securing an unprecedented third term this month, as evidence that it has a powerful friend in this standoff with the hostile West. We can feel the geopolitical landscape in the outside world undergoing drastic changes, Putin said in the article in China's People's Daily published on the Kremlin website, adding that he had high hopes for the visit from his good old friend. For Yi, the visit is a diplomatic tightrope. China has released a 12-point proposal to solve the Ukraine crisis, but at the same time strengthened ties with Moscow. China has repeatedly dismissed Western accusations that it's planning to arm Russia, but says it wants a closer energy partnership after boosting imports of Russian coal, gas, and oil. Western sanctions meant cheaper prices that have saved Beijing billions of dollars. Now, again, let that sink in. We're going to sanction Russia. We're going to tear Russia all to pieces with our sanctions. UK, US, I mean, we're going to tear them to pieces. I don't think they missed us. What we didn't buy, China and India bought. We're paying higher prices for oil. Or are they getting a better deal? Much cheaper energy prices. Who won that idea of blocking trade with Russia? Which side won and come out with plenty and at a cheap price, while the other side got stuck with nothing to sell and price went up? I mean, come on. Who lost them? I think we did. Would you agree? Russian state television showed Yi arriving at Moscow's Vnukovo airport on Monday afternoon. He was due to hold formal talks to Putin, followed by dinner. Formal talks are scheduled for Tuesday. So we're almost into Tuesday. We'll see what happens after tomorrow. And they have formal talks and see what comes out of it. All I can say is, we did nothing to hurt Russia economically. I should tell you that the lack of influence America now has in the world, and why the other countries are not afraid to stand up against us and tell us no, we're not going to tell them what to do. The empire of America, the empire, so the empire that America has become, is not going to stand much longer. And the end of all empires is a very tragic thing. They become arrogant. They become self-assured. So when all this hits, they cry like babies. They never face anything like before. America's empire is collapsing around us as we speak. Prepare yourself. Call Melody at 800-375-4188. Don't go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Alrighty, folks, we are back now in the final segment for today's broadcast. I hope that we're doing something, folks, that would help you understand things a little better. I pray we are. Listen, I want to tell you that I am not the brightest bulb in the house by any means. But I do try to study God's Word above everything else. And history ties to it. Not just of Israel, but history of the world. And current events to find out where we are in time. So I report something to you. I'm reporting not because I think you're stupid, not by any means. Don't ever think that. I report because I want to encourage you what you're doing, you know, is right. And maybe by the grace of God, tell you something you didn't know to help you make a better decision in the future. That's what we're hoping we're doing. That's what I pray we're doing. Experienced Ukrainian soldiers are already dead or wounded. This is how the Washington Post, folks. The Washington Post, citing a Ukrainian battalion commander, reported this week that all Ukrainian veterans are already dead or wounded, which may jeopardize Zelensky's regime's planned spring offensive from with Russia. From the Washington Post, Ukraine short of skilled troops and munitions at losses, pessimism grows. The quality, I'm going to try to get to all this article, it's quite lengthy. But nonetheless, U.S. European officials have estimated that there has been 120,000 Ukrainian soldiers have been killed or wounded. And according to that, this article, 200,000 Russians have been. The Russia has a lot bigger populace to get transcripts or draft people out of. So, we don't hear this reported anywhere in the Western world, but Ukraine is 120,000 soldiers dead or wounded. They're the only ones that they had experience with. They're now transcripting, I guess, people, and people that never aren't experienced soldiers or are not war-hardened, so to speak, which lessens their ability to stand against Russia on any front. I know we just sent them some more money. What that means? That means you and I, we're going to pay more inflation. That's what that means. So if your senator or congressman voted again and sent Zelensky some more money, you can thank them for the price of a loaf of bread and even a gallon of gas. Belarus cracks down on pro-Ukraine guerrillas as war threatens to expand. I said as a war threatens to expand. The Belarus government is implementing widespread measures to crack down on dissent as pro-Ukraine guerrillas attempt to sabotage railways and other logistics that could be used by Russia for a future offensive from the north. The move comes not long after the guerrillas, part of an organization called BIPOL, used two armed drones to damage a Russian Bereav A-50 parked at the Malushki Air Base near Minsk. The early warning aircraft was lent to Belarus for monitoring the security of the southern border. The attack failed to destroy the plane beyond minor repairs, according to the Belarus government, but did garner BIPOL headlines in the Western media. What they did not report was that the primary perpetrator of the attack was apprehended along with 20 other accomplices. Belarus claimed that at least one of the guerrillas has ties to Ukrainian security forces, though it remains unconfirmed. Last month, President Alexander Loshchenko warned that, "I'm ready to fight together with Russians from the territory of Belarus in one case only. If so much as one soldier from Ukraine comes to our territory with a gun to kill my people. If BIPOL attacks continue within Belarus, they may provide the very rationale that Lewinsky needs to justify joining military force with Russia, which would open up the northern border of Ukraine to attack and likely deal a devastating blow to the nation's defensive posture." I wonder if Ukraine did that or somebody like the good old U.S. of A. may have done these things to instigate the spreading of war. Or did we pay these people to do it? You all know now we took out the pipeline. You all know that already. We do that. The United States did that. We know that. It's been proven now. So why we not be doing this to instigate war now with Belarus to join in with Russia? Further the war in Europe. The world's not ready. No, we're never ready for a nuclear war. The world will never be ready for a nuclear war, but it's coming. But to have one spread throughout Europe, it would be devastating to the whole world, not just because of war ravages, because maybe some nations will miss that, but what it does to the nations that are linked together for a lot of different reasons. It'll hurt everyone involved. I just let that sink in a second. Who would benefit? K. Bono. Who would benefit from war? Who are the ones that can never lose in a war? It's not the young men and women on the front line. It's not them. They lose by the men sometimes. Who wins? The ones that finance the wars, folks. Who finances wars? The banksters. The Rothschilds, Rockefellers, Morgans. Financial wars, each side, no matter who wins or who loses, they win. That's the idea. The love of money is still the root of all evil. Please just contemplate what I've said. This is not my word. That's the word of God. The love of money, which constitutes power and control, is still the root of all evil. And not only that, if your nation's in bad shape financially, and people getting a little bit, not satisfied, they're getting up in arms, so to speak, and rioting and all different things. We'll get them back into the shell and have them shouting rah, 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 and buying Chinese American flags, American flag made in China, when we go to war. It's like 9/11 did. It made the country come together. A lot of people come together and started waving the Chinese, little Chinese American flags all over the place. Matter of fact, I remember I was in a pawn shop type plane one day. I'm looking for something. I remember what it was, and a lady came in and wanted to buy a flag, and then he said, "We're all out of them." Yeah, you got the nation awake, and rah-rah U.S., bah-bah Middle East. You all remember that, don't you? Now, if we go to war and make Russia the bad guy, people get in line to go fight Russia. They didn't have another war. And they're doing it right now in Ukraine, by the way. Many some Americans have joined the battle over there to fight with Ukraine. Some have been killed already. We are easily controlled, my friends, whether you like them, like to admit it or not. Patriotism can take you down a bad road. Blind patriotism will take you down a road to destroy you. That's what Americans have become. Different topic, but I think probably more dangerous. Oxfam Inclusivity Guide tells staff to avoid using offensive words. Offensive words like mother, people, and headquarters. Gosh. Oxfam has released an exclusive language guide which apologizes for using the English language before going on to deem the number of words offensive, such as headquarters, local, people, mother, and feminine hygiene. Yes, really, folks, this is true. The Poverty and Hunger charity was slammed for caving to absurd levels of political correctness after issuing the bizarre 92-page guidance to staff members. We recognize that this guide has its origin in English, the language of a colonizing nation. We acknowledge the Anglo supremacy of the sector as part of its coloniality, states the introduction. This guide aims to support people who have to work and communicate in English language as part of this colonial legacy. However, we recognize that the dominance of English is one of the key issues that must be addressed in order to decolonize our ways of working and shift power. Apparently, merely using the English language is now racist and offensive. The word headquarters is criticized because it implies a colonial power dynamic, while field trip is also a frowned upon because it can reinforce colonial attitudes. My gosh. Staff are even told not to say stand with people, the people they support, because it potentially alienates people unable to stand. While even the word people is to be avoided because it often is misunderstood as referring to men. I didn't know that. Did you? Mother or father are also verboten because it's important to avoid assuming the adoption of gendered roles by transgender parents. According to the guide, while feminine hygiene is also a bad term because it implies menstruation is dirty. Even the terms LGBT, LGBTQIX, homosexuality, and gay and lesbian are to be avoided because people who consider themselves part of the whole LGBTQIA plus community might be offended if the plus isn't used. Well, I'm so worried about that. I may offend somebody. My goodness. Critics slammed the ludicrous language guide and said that Oxfam should concentrate on charity work rather than policing the words people are allowed to use. In Africa, women have a 1 in 37 chance of dying in pregnancy, said Maya Forrester, who founded a pressure group like Sex Matters. But Oxfam seems to think that they're really important in erasing clear language about the very people who are most at risk. How's ignoring and denigrating the word world's mothers good for development, she asked. This guidance is trying to apply fashionable ideas about gender identity to people around the world who don't think like this and are dealing with the ordinary problems men and women face every day. Most people will find this particular use of valuable time and resources by Oxfam totally bizarre. It would do them well to remember the old adage that actions speak louder than words, asserted Tory former President Robert Buckland. Free speech activist Toby Young has highlighted Oxfam mishandling of the scandal surrounding the staff, sexuality exploiting children after the 2010 Haiti earthquake, noting, "It's rather like being lectured by a finger-wagging vicar from behind this pulpit, even though he's publicly disgraced. It would be altogether more sensible if Oxfam focused on his core mission of alleviating poverty and starvation." However, the charity doubled down on its woke insanity, releasing a statement clarifying, "This guide is not prescriptive, but helps authors communicate in a way that is respectful to the diverse range of people with which we work. We are proud of using this inclusive language. We won't succeed in tackling poverty by excluding marginalized groups." This is the insanity in this world today. And we're getting all tore up because banks fail. Folks, if we're so dumb, we don't know boys from girls, men from women, male from female. How are we going to run a country? College professor cries racism and sexism over well-stocked and organized pantries. As the time for spring cleaning sweeps its way in, so do the calls of racism and sexism from a college professor, from college professors that start to roll in. However, this time around, the target of such claims is just a little bit odd: your pantry. A recent trend across the social media platform TikTok has started to go viral, in which the users promote and share their very well-organized pantry closets and refrigerators. However, Gina Drinton, a marketing professor out of Loyola University Chicago, expressed in a recent piece within the 10 conversations in which she heavily criticized the new trend, which she started to call pantry porn, for its role in glamorizing and stylizing home organization. Drinton then stated that this trend was very similar to the desire for niceness, which she stated is entirely rooted in sexism and extreme racism. Oh, folks, I'm not making this stuff up. Do you really want to trust your money to people that are this stupid? Now, I know she's a professor, but a lot of these so-called woke companies like SVB also were pro everything she's talking about. Irish Prime Minister Leo Varadkar praises America on St. Patrick's Day as a leader in LGBT equality. God bless America, right? Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States, the one that supports murdering children, sexual perversion, starting wars. Irish Prime Minister Leo Varadkar praised America as a leader of the LGBT equality and marriage equality while delivering brief remarks on Friday, St. Patrick's Day, at the Vice Presidential Residence in Washington, D.C. Speaking for less than 5 minutes, Varadkar described himself as belonging to the LGBT community. I guess he's a homosexual, he's a sodomite, he's a pervert. He celebrated Vice President Kamala Harris' opposition to Proposition 8, a 2008 ballot proposition in California seeking to amend the state's constitution to legally define marriage as a union between man and woman. Varadkar stated, "As doctors and as proud members of the LGBT community, allow us to say how inspired we've been by your personal advocacy for marriage equality, particularly in relation to Proposition 8, and also your defense of the Affordable Care Act from Stonewall to Sacramento to San Francisco. America has led the way when it comes to LGBT equality. I don't think I could be here today were it not for what America did. I know you've been such a strong ally for a community in that regard. Thank you for that." And you, folks, I don't want to say America's being judged. Why do you expect anything less? America's being judged. Give Melody a call while you still have time and still can afford some real money. 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. I will see you Wednesday. They will see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got you.